He says, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of what? The surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And so when the Apostle Paul sets knowing Jesus, having a relationship with Jesus, living life with Jesus, and contrast that to every other good and valuable thing that he had, every good and valuable thing that he had to give up to follow Jesus, in comparison, all those things are of very little worth compared to knowing Jesus Christ. Now, I believe this in my mind, that knowing Jesus is more valuable than any joy in this life and anything we can attain in this life. But I want that to sink deep into my heart so that I believe it 100% and I live it out. And I want this morning to help me and to help you sink this truth into our hearts, that knowing Jesus is better than anything else. The Apostle Paul explains why this relationship with Jesus is so amazing, why it's so priceless in Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. And I invite you to turn there in your Bibles. We're going to spend the morning in this section about why it is that living life with Jesus is so priceless. And he describes this priceless relationship with Jesus in Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 8. And Paul says this. He says, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as trash in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. And he doesn't want to be found in him having a righteousness based on the law, but having the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. So as the Apostle Paul unfolds why this relationship with Jesus is so priceless, he presents it in a chronological way. Starting life with Jesus, continuing life with Jesus, and then ending life with Jesus. He describes this initial relationship and the value of this initial relationship with Jesus there in verses 9 and 10. We're going to come back to each of these sections. Then he moves on to the progressive relationship with Jesus and why walking day to day, year to year with Jesus is so amazing. And then he ends with the ultimate relationship with Jesus that he describes, the ultimate goal that by any means possible he wants to get there to this thing called the resurrection from the dead. Now, this whole package of why it's so awesome to live life with Jesus, I want to offer this as the main idea of the section, and it's the main idea of our sermon this morning, and it just happens also to be the first blanks on your sermon outline that's included in your bulletin. The main idea of this morning's message is that life with Jesus is awesome from beginning to end. From beginning to end. And I would like you to say this with me. Life with Jesus is awesome from beginning to end. And stretch out your arms. We're going to use our arms a little bit today. Life with Jesus is awesome from beginning to end. And this is why. Now, we got a couple more weeks with the kids in the service, and I don't want to forget what I have on my sermon notes, so I want you to help me lock it in, and this is the totality of today's message, and these are the reasons why life with Jesus is awesome from beginning to end. And the first reason, raise your hand if you're under the age of 15, I'm going to need your help. I want you to help me remember what I'm saying up here. The first reason is because with Jesus, we are in. Do it with me. With Jesus, we're in. And that's, we're in the family of God because we believe in Jesus. The second reason we're going to talk about is that with Jesus, we win. So give me this one. With Jesus, we win. So with Jesus, we're in. Mark, can I see those hands? We're in. And with Jesus, we win because Jesus gives us the power to defeat sin in our life. The third one is, you'll like this one, with Jesus, we spin. Haley, we spin. And this is the struggles and difficulties we go through as we walk with him, but that he's actually using to transform us into his image. And then finally, with Jesus, we rise again. We rise again. And this is that promise of resurrection. So this is our message for this morning, and this is the message from the Apostle Paul. Let's look at this this initial relationship and why it's so awesome when we begin a relationship with Jesus. And we get these awesome things right away when we put our faith in Jesus, when we hear the good news that Jesus, the second person of the Trinity who created us, loved us enough to come and rescue us from our sin. He came and he took the punishment for our sins when he died on the cross. He paid our debt to God the Father. He took our punishment in full. He rose from the dead. He ascended up into heaven, and he invites us to put our faith in him, to trust that his death on the cross was sufficient to forgive all of our sins and guarantee a place in our family. We put our faith in him and follow him. On that day, we get these initial amazing blessings, this relationship with Jesus that he describes in verse 9 and 10. And he talks about it as knowing Christ. He talks about it as gaining Christ. He talks about being in Christ. This is this amazing initial relationship, and it comes with some amazing perks. He says that when we enter into this relationship by putting our faith in Christ, when we come to know Christ, to be in him, to be connected to Christ, to start walking and living with Christ by faith, we then get these two great things. The first one, he says, is that we get righteousness. The day we believe in Jesus, we receive this thing called righteousness. And the second thing, he says, is that we receive this power. This power that he describes as resurrection power. So let's look at this first one. He says we receive, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. And this is right standing before God the Father, who is the judge of all people and who is our judge, who looks at our life and sees the things that we do, good or bad, the things that we do outside or the things that we think inside. And when he looks at us, we are seen by God as clean, as not guilty of sin. And this is a righteousness in front of God, forgiveness from God, right standing with God, that comes not by doing a bunch of good things and performing for God, following enough rules, but it depends on what? How do we get it? A righteousness from God that depends on faith, on putting our trust in Jesus, who was good enough. Jesus, who did live a perfect life, and Jesus then taking the punishment for our sins, wiping our slate clean, clearing out our debt, and then giving to us his righteousness and letting us receive his reward and his acceptance and his right standing before God the Father. This is something we get on day one when we put our faith in Jesus. The Apostle Paul writes in another place, he says that this is the faith just like Abraham had. He says, what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. So just like Abraham, he believed in God. He believed in God's promises. He trusted God's promises. And God saw him, credited in him, saw him as not guilty and forgiven and acceptable. The same way, this is a gift that Jesus gives to us when we put our faith in him. When we believe in him, we are also counted righteous by faith. Paul talks about it and some of the results of being counted righteous by faith in Romans chapter 5 as well. He says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, now we're no longer in a relationship of hostility with God, but now we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into the grace, that love of God that we don't deserve, in which we stand. And we rejoice because we have a future with God. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. This is being brought in to the family of God, being given righteousness that doesn't come by works, but comes by faith in Jesus Christ. He brings us into a relationship of peace with God, but then it's even a deeper peace than just now we don't have the crosshairs of a holy God pointed at us. This peace is a family peace. John says it like this. He says, understand that this peace is filled with love. This is a love relationship now that we've come into with God the Father because of Jesus Christ. He says, see what kind of love the Father has given, that we should be called children of God, and that is what you and I are. That's what Jesus has given to us. This is why living life with Jesus is so awesome, even from the very beginning. Because a life with Jesus from the beginning to the end is awesome. Reason number one, with Jesus, we're in. We're in the family of God. He assures us of our place in God's family. This is the first set of blanks in the body of the outline. With Jesus, we are, let's see this, let me see your thumbs. So it's the thumb out, and then we're going to come to the chest. With Jesus, we're in. Jesus gives us a place, and he assures us a place in God's family. That's the first reason why life with Jesus is awesome from beginning to the end. With Jesus, we are in. Now, he talks about this new acceptance that we receive when we come into relationship with Jesus, this righteousness from God, but then he also talks about something else. He talks about a new power that we receive. This is also a day one gift, yet we're seen as righteous before God. We have right standing with God the Father, but also on day one, we receive this power that he describes here in verse 10. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. So we receive supernatural power the day we believe in Jesus. Now, in our household, we have been watching a new series called The Flash. Are there any other Flash fans out there? You can admit it. Brian? Oh, you're just taking a drink. Okay. So there's no other Flash fans out there, but the Flash, his superpower is that he can run really fast. Is that a surprise to anybody? This is the Flash's superpower, and it happened when a catastrophic explosion happened in his city, and this was the explosion of the particle accelerator at Star Labs. Is this jogging some memories, everybody? And as a result, it changed a lot of people, some in good powers, some bad powers, and now there's all these ongoing conflicts, and Flash is at the middle. And his moment, his origin of his superpowers was the day of that explosion. But the origin of our superpowers was no explosion. The origin of your superpowers given from God was the day that you believed in Jesus Christ and you were made new. Paul says it like this. He says, if any of you are in Christ, is anybody in Christ? See those hands? You're in Christ. I know that. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. There's been a change. A superhero has been created. He says, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And this is a new creation. We are new people. We have been given a new heart and a new life. The Holy Spirit has given our hearts life from the dead. He's given us a new ability to know God and please God. And then he came inside of us. The Holy Spirit came to live inside of us. And one of the things that he gives us is power. Superpower to live the Christian life. Now, Paul describes this power that we receive that characterizes our new life with the Holy Spirit living inside of us as resurrection power. That's a pretty cool way to say it. Paul says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. And this is something we experience as we live life. But what is this resurrection power? If you had to choose a superpower, what superpower would you choose?
Flying
is a really good superpower. Speed? Yeah, I think you would choose speed or invisibility so you can steal candy. Yeah, there's super strength. There's a lot of good superpowers out there, but I would go with those of Superman. And I wouldn't actually do the flying, but I would go with the laser eyes, just because every time I go out to try and light the barbecue, I can never find that big long lighter to get down there far enough to light the barbecue. So I would go with the Superman, laser eyes, especially for barbecues and campfires. But the superpower that we've been given the day we believed in Jesus is power to defeat sin. This is better than flying. This is better than laser eyes. The power to defeat sin. Day one, when we believed in Jesus, we've been given a new heart and a new ability to resist sin's temptation and to defeat sin in our life. Paul talks about it like this, that we know that our old self was crucified with Christ in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we no longer are enslaved to sin. When we believed in Jesus Christ, that old part of us, that old man that was a slave to sin, that loved sin, that was controlled by sin, that old man is dead. By the power of God, you and I now are no longer slaves to sin. We're still tempted, we still fail, but we have now the power from God to say no to sin. If we think of the terms that Richard Maxwell used last week when he talked about the flesh and the temptations of the flesh, Paul says, if we walk by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit who is in us now giving us power, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. We are no longer slaves. We can live in a way where we do not gratify the desires of the flesh. And Paul says that by the Spirit, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. We are given victory over sin. We're given power over sin. And this is a gift that we receive when we put our faith in Jesus. And this is another reason why life with Jesus is awesome from when? The beginning to the end. Because, yeah, with Jesus, we're in, but also with Jesus, second reason it's awesome is because we win. He gives us power over sin. Thank you, guys. With Jesus, we're in. With Jesus, we win. Greg, with Jesus, we're in. With Jesus, we win. Number two. If you're keeping up on your outline, that's a second reason. With Jesus, we win. He gives us power over our sin. Now, this power over sin and this righteous standing with God are both day one blessings of having a relationship with Jesus Christ. These are both part of this initial relationship that we have when we believe in Jesus. But then Paul goes on to talk about the greatness, the awesomeness of walking with Jesus day to day and a progressive relationship with Jesus throughout our Christian life. And he says it like this. He says, I've suffered the loss of all things. I want to know Jesus Christ, and I want to share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And this is the blessing of progressive relationship with Jesus and having a deeper and deeper relationship with Jesus through struggles in our life. And this is an an interesting thing that Paul would say, I am happy, I joyfully will lose everything else if I can know Jesus and share in his suffering. This is actually something that we as Christians, we know that this is something natural as we're joining ourselves with a Savior who is rejected and despised. We know that this is necessary. Jesus told us right away, he said to his disciples, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of this world, the world would love you as its own. And because you're not of this world, I chose you out of this world, therefore the world hates you. It's natural for us to go through struggles as we follow in the footsteps of a rejected Savior. And it's actually a necessary part of our Christian life. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, it's going to be necessary for you to go through difficulties and struggles. And he described it as denying ourselves and taking up our cross to follow him. And we know this. We've read these. We know the call of Jesus, the call to a life of following in our Savior's footsteps of struggle and suffering. And we know that struggles are natural and necessary. But we're talking about why it's awesome to follow Jesus. And is it really desirable to go through struggles as we follow Jesus? Paul helps us to think through, why is it awesome? Why is it desirable to actually go through struggles, to walk with Jesus day to day through struggles? And he points out that living this life with Jesus that includes this suffering and struggles is actually a purifying life, because it causes us to become progressively more and more like Jesus. It removes the love that we have for the things of this world. It makes us stronger when it comes to temptation. It gives us a greater trust in God as we see his plan unfolding in our lives, even in our struggles and difficulties. Actually, this life of struggles, sharing in Christ's suffering, is something that is desirable. It's counterintuitive, but it is desirable because it is a purifying process. And Paul describes it like this in Romans chapter 5. He says, through Christ, we have obtained the access by faith into the grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But that, not only that, he says, we also rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that our suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Actually, God is producing something. He's producing good things through our struggles and through our sufferings. He's building our capacity. He's building our capacity to serve him, to endure difficulties on his mission. He's building our capacity to be someone that can encourage others and come alongside others with understanding and sympathy. As we go through our difficulties, as we go through our sufferings, he's producing capacity. He's solidifying our identity as clear followers committed, devoted to Jesus Christ, as he rubs off the rough edges, as he continues to remove the residual remnants of the old man and continues to transform us and conform us into his image. This is happening through our sufferings. And he focuses our attention. He produces this hope in the future, knowing that the difficulties of this world are not the end. And he shifts our eyes and our attention beyond this life to the rewards, to the rest, to the relief that he has promised us as his children. So this difficulty, these struggles, they actually have a very positive, purifying effect. This all comes as a result of our sufferings. I was looking at buying Andrew one of these rock tumblers. Has anybody played with a rock tumbler? These are pretty cool devices, and you put a kind of jagged, rough, sometimes dirty and ugly rock into the tumbler, and then you tumble it, and you tumble it, and you tumble it, and you tumble it, and eventually pops out some beautiful, well-polished gem. But I thought maybe you just stick it in overnight, stick the rock in there overnight, and it's good to go. Just a little bit of tumbling necessary to come out with a nice shiny rock. But as I looked into it more, actually, you have to tumble that rock constantly for about a month if you want to come out with the right product. If you want one of those nice shiny gems. Each stage of the tumbling, you put different grit in there to rub against the rock. You have different thicknesses of grit, and progressively it gets more polished and more polished, and you end with a final tumble through the polish. And this is what God is doing with us as He spins us and spins us and spins us in the struggles of difficulties in life, adding different grit of different challenges to come out with something that looks real pretty, something that looks just like Jesus. And this is really the goal of all these struggles, that we would become more like Jesus. And this is why it is awesome, and an awesome part of living with Jesus. Because, yeah, we're in the family of God. With Jesus, we're in. With Jesus, we win. And also, with Jesus, we spin. This is reason number three. With Jesus, we spin. He turns our struggles into growth. It's on the back side of the outline. With Jesus, we spin. He turns our struggles into growth. Now, kids, look at me. Life with Jesus is awesome from beginning to end. Why? Because with Jesus we're in, with Jesus we win, and then with Jesus we spin. He turns those struggles into growth. And the goal is that we, sharing in His sufferings, we can become like Jesus. And it doesn't just say like Jesus, but like Jesus what? Like Jesus in His death. And I thought that was a unique focal point that the Apostle Paul brings up. What was Jesus like in His death? And actually, in the chapter before, the Apostle Paul had explained Jesus's death and actually what Jesus was like in His death. And I think what the goal of all these difficulties and struggles are, what God wants to create in us specifically, how He wants us to be like Jesus specifically, in the previous chapter, He said Jesus, Christ humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So what was Jesus like in His death? He was obedient. He was obedient to the Father. He was fully devoted to the will and the work of the Father at all costs. I think this is what the tumbling is all about. The spinning and spinning is all about. Getting us to the point that just like Jesus, we can say, even in the difficulties, Your will be done. That we're devoted to the Father, we're devoted to the will of the Father and to the mission of the Father. That just like Jesus, you and I are faithful to the last breath. Even if it's difficulty after difficulty, just like Jesus, you and I are faithful to the last breath. We get spun and spun and spun, but the result is our commitment to the Father is even greater than when it begun. Now, we said life with Jesus is awesome from beginning to what? To the end. Is this the end? Do we just get spun and spun and spun and then finally we're done? And it's all over? That is not how it works. That's not how it worked for Jesus, and that's not how it works for you and I. Actually, this spinning process, this suffering with Jesus, knowing him and participating in his sufferings, is only a step in the process, and it not only purifies us, but it confirms to us that we're on the right path, that we are actually following in the steps of our suffering Savior. And Paul tells us that our suffering is actually confirmation. He says that we are fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that way we may also be glorified with him. It's not spun and done. We spin and we spin and we spin, and we get conformed into the image of Christ. We follow in the footsteps of our suffering Savior, but it doesn't end in death. Jesus' road continued in glorification and exaltation. And Paul promises that if we suffer with him, we are also going to be glorified with him. And this is what the Apostle Paul calls in our Philippians passage, by any means possible, attaining to the resurrection from the dead. This is the glorification with Christ that's promised for we who suffer with him and follow in his footsteps. So you and I were promised, and it's good and it's great, it's awesome, because with Jesus we're in, with Jesus we win, with Jesus we spin, but also with Jesus we rise again. This is the most awesome part of this life with Jesus, is that with Jesus, he equips us to enjoy him forever. And this is the last set of blanks on your outline. We're going to make a blank where there ain't no blank, and that is, he equips us, not brings us, but he equips us to enjoy him forever. With Jesus, we rise again. He equips us to enjoy him forever. And this is what the Apostle Paul says is his ultimate prize he's after, that by any means possible, he wants to get to it. He says, by any means possible, I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. This is the ultimate relationship with Jesus. It's good the whole way. It's awesome from beginning to end. But the initial relationship is great. The ongoing walk with Jesus is great. But this is the ultimate goal. This is where the scriptures repeatedly point us to look forward to this. This is going to be the big day. This is the ultimate experience of relationship with Christ. And it happens at the resurrection from the dead. You could imagine it as if we're climbing a high mountain. We're going through the difficulties. We've entered onto the path. We've struggled the whole way up, but finally we hit the top, and this is exaltation with Christ by our own resurrection. The Apostle Paul uses the imagery of running a race and points us to this hope of resurrection. He says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the Father and right hand of the Father of the throne, right hand of the throne of God. He says Jesus is an example for us. He looked forward and endured the difficulties of walking the path that God had given him, because he had hope, and he had hope in his glorification, his vindication, his exaltation, him being seated at the right hand of the throne of God. That was Jesus's reward. That was Jesus's exaltation. Our exaltation is not being seated at the right hand of God the Father. Our exaltation comes with the resurrection from the dead. We, following in the footsteps of our suffering Savior, also get to participate in the vindication and glorification that the Savior received. Paul explains it as he concludes this exciting passage in Philippians chapter 3 about the resurrection from the dead. And he gives a little more details, and I want to bring it in. And he says, I have given up everything so that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection of the dead. That was the end of our passage that we were just looking at. And then he says, I press on towards the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And he says, our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. This is this prize. This is this awesome climax of following Jesus. This day, the resurrection from the dead, when we see Jesus face to face, when he comes from heaven and he transforms our body. That's the resurrection. The resurrection from the dead isn't like a zombie day where all these people in graves climb up through the dirt and they're walking around. That's not the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection from the dead is a day in the future, the same day that Jesus comes back, where Jesus gives us new bodies and he transforms our bodies. And the resurrection is an extremely important event for enjoying the future with Jesus. And it's because of our situation as humans after sin entered into the world. We want to spend eternity with Jesus, right? We want to enjoy him. We want to enjoy all the blessings that come from him for the future. But we're not built for that. We're not built for it. Either we are in this body, which is infected by sin, messed up by sin and decay and sickness. This is not a body that we're able to enjoy Jesus for eternity in. Or our body dies as followers of Jesus. We go to heaven and we're a spirit. But God didn't design us to just be a spirit, right? When he created man, he created us with a body and a spirit. So in order for us to enjoy God forever in the way that God designed, in the perfect way, we need to get something new. We can't go in with these bodies, and we're not just going to go in as spirits. And that's what the resurrection is all about. It's about God giving us new bodies that are fit for eternity. This is the day of the resurrection. It happens on the day Jesus comes back, and what we all get is bodies fit to enjoy eternity. And those are bodies, the Bible talks about them quite a bit, bodies that can be on this earth, they can be up in heaven, they can do amazing things, and they're unaffected by sin. Isn't that going to be great? Unaffected by pain, unaffected by illness. These are bodies that are fit to enjoy God for eternity. And once we're given our resurrection bodies on that big day, Jesus comes back, we're given our resurrection bodies, then a series of events start happening. And a series of awesome events start happening. We have the restoration of the entire creation. We have the reign of Christ on earth. We have rewards with Christ in heaven. You and I are given these bodies, and then we spend time in heaven with Jesus in these cool bodies. They're fit for heaven. We get to enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb. Then when he comes back to rule on this earth, we got these cool bodies and we get to come on this earth and rule with him. When he creates a new heavens and a new earth, we get to be on this new heavens and the new earth with him. And this whole time, we're enjoying fellowship with him, fellowship with one another in these awesome new resurrection bodies. So Paul says, I want to get there. I want to get to that party when Jesus comes back and he gives out these awesome bodies, and then the dominoes of the whole creation coming back under the control of Jesus Christ begins. I want to make it to the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection for us means instant perfection of our bodies, freedom from sin, freedom from suffering, freedom from the effects of sin inside of us, power from God, given to us by the power of God and because of the promises of God, and then our bodies are perfected now to be free from sin, forever and to enjoy relationship with God forever. This is going to be a big day. This is the day of resurrection, and this is one more reason that living life with Jesus is awesome from beginning to end. And this is not a typo. Life with Jesus is awesome from beginning to beginning, because actually the resurrection is a new beginning. Our relationship, our awesome life with Jesus never stops. This is what we get because of our connection with Jesus. With Jesus, you and I, we're in. With Jesus, we win. With Jesus, we spin. And with Jesus, we raise again. Jesus is awesome. And if you haven't began your relationship with Jesus, if you haven't bowed the knee to Jesus in faith, put your trust in Him, that His loving sacrifice on the cross was enough to take care of all your sins, to forgive all your sins, to make you a child in the family of God, accepted and loved forever, today is the day. Begin this awesome life with Jesus now. Trust Him as your Savior, bow to Him as your King, and we'll all give Him the glory. Let's pray.